Life is hard. This show, The Southern Style Medium, is all about understanding your life struggles, why they happen, and how to fix them. Get ready to be enlightened with life tools and free readings each week by renowned psychic medium, life coach, and motivational speaker, Sharon Pugh, fondly known as the Southern Style Medium for her warm, humorous, and tell-it-like-it-is approach. And now your host, Sharon Pugh.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today is going to be a really intense show. So if you have small children, you know, in the room, it's really not suitable for them. What we're going to be doing, this is with host myself, Sharon Pugh, and host Matthew Brandau. Next week, we're going to have the new show. It's going to be called Beyond Psychic Mediumship, taking topics to a whole nother level, but using the psychic and mediumship aspect of it. But today, I'm actually going to be interviewing Matthew Brandau, who was a true life warlock, practiced witchcraft. And I spoke with him a little bit about this, and some of the things just blew my mind because I don't know anything about witchcraft or Wiccan. I've never practiced it. And so this is from this whole show is from his experiences and his thoughts on this. So Matthew, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in.
Okay.
All right.
Well, the first thing is to let people know that this is past.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
No, I'm not correcting you. I'm adding on to what you've said. And I am now a person who has found Jesus. Not found him. I believe in Jesus. All of the understandings that go along with it, very faithful to God. And so what I'm going to be talking about, and Sharon will ask me some questions. Some of them will help me to remind me of what I want to talk about. Other things I will remember and bring up. But it's really all about understanding what witchcraft is today and what it was. So Sharon, fire away with how we're going to approach this. Whatever way you want to do it, doesn't bother me.
Okay. I want to give a quick shout out, you know, before we get started, because we're going to get so enthralled in this. If you want to, you know, book a reading with me, go to SharonPugh.com or TheSouthernStyleMedium.com, and you can pre-book a reading. There's an instant reading option on there. Click on that link. If my button is green, you can call and just pay by the minute. Very convenient. And just follow our show. Find us on Facebook, me, Sharon Pugh, and Matt, what is your contact information?
They can go to psychic or mediummatthew.com. Both will take you to the same website. And also to let people know, and Sharon, you don't know about this yet, and it's not a big deal because it doesn't impact you at all, but folks, if you do go through my website, in the very near future, I am going to start taking the proceeds from my readings. 5% is going to be start going to donations to different charities. I still have to look at the charities to see which ones are actually spending the most of the dollar that I send to them and putting it towards the actual end result or end receiver, as they say, or in computer cases, the end user. Those people that actually get the donations to them, they can actually use it for whatever they need, be it food or whatnot. I'm going to be actually doing this, and it may go to people, it may go to women, children of difficult situations. It could even go to animals, pets, animals in difficult situations. But I am beginning to do that. So know that if you do give me a call, the end of each month, 5% of whatever the proceeds are will start going towards these donations, so you can know that you are not only getting a reading, but you are helping other people directly as well. How's that sound, Sharon?
Okay, very, you know, very generous, and I'm a firm believer, you know, pay it forward, and what you give out comes back tenfold, so kudos to you. So, no, I didn't know that, but,
no,
you know,
no,
and
you
I
didn't
might,
know that.
I
I just
feel,
remembered that I...
And I feel compelled to maybe follow suit, so maybe that'll be something that I'll talk about, you know, on next show, but...
That's
You
up to
know,
you. There's no reason that you have to do it, because some people are in different circumstances where they can't deal with that type of situation. And at another point later on in life, they can, but right now they can't. And that's totally understandable. I'm lucky. I'm in a position where I can start doing that.
Okay. Well, just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And so I'm looking forward to hearing feedback on, you know, maybe what organization you donate to. So let's, you know, get started on this topic of, you know, of witchcraft and the occult. And so you
Definitely.
Were a male version of a witch, which to me is a warlock. And one thing that I'm curious about is, I mean, the history of witchcraft. Did it start in the US? Did it start somewhere else?
Well, the history of witchcraft is actually a very difficult definition. There's very little to go on. Historically speaking, from the United States around the time of the 13 colonies and just before that, when one of the first discoverers came along was Christopher Columbus. In that era, these people were actually from the England area, which is the United Kingdom now. That area actually was in the study of witchcraft, but at that time, we're talking about multiple definitions. Witchcraft was actually originally coming from the word Wicca. Wicca was actually one of the first definitions, but before even that came along, where it got changed over to witchcraft due to being a witch and doing a certain craft, there was Wicca and many different languages, the Italian language, the Roman language, all of these different languages that sprouted up way back in the history show their own definitions of what Wicca was. In the Roman times, it was believed that these were people who had certain abilities in medicine, mostly the women, were these older women who were living outside of the major metropolitan areas. Now you have to remember that back in the Roman times, if Rome was not centralized in for witchcraft, there was no centralization. Rome, the city in Italy, is actually always been the capital of the Roman Empire at the time, but witchcraft was always something that was considered very vague, and women who practiced this strange medical technique were known as wise women. That's one particular attribute of what the history of this is all about, is they knew how to use certain herbs. They knew how to use certain vegetation and plants and flowers, which would create different types of concoctions, teas, healing properties, that type of thing, certain scents. Because they knew how to do these things, they were known to be very, very wise women. And that's one of the reasons why sometimes they were looked at as very strange women, because nobody understood them. And at the same time, they didn't always know the latest rituals or dogmas that the Roman Empire was believing in or changing at certain times to suit the Romans, the emperor's needs. Each and every emperor had their own way of doing things. So when these faiths, or how they were told to handle themselves, rolled out into the forests and into the rural areas, these people were very far behind because the communication was very little and they did not go into the city every single day, nothing like what it is today. So witchcraft or Wicca really has a very vague definition. Nobody knows the actual specific origin of where it came from at all. And the reason why is there's no written history because there was no dogma specific to witchcraft. People have written dogmas of their own interpretation, and you'll find many books on that of what they say they believe in. But there was never one founding book. There was many different variations of that. So how does that sound, Sharon?
Perfect, which kind of leads me to, I don't want to put you on the spot with this, but I'm extremely curious because you were part of what would be called as a covenant. What, is that right?
Yes, I was actually part of a covenant, and that is considered to be a type of church. But the church-going folk of today go to a preacher, or whatever faith they're in. They go to a different structure. But a covenant usually has between two all the way up to seven, sometimes even 12 or 13, depending on what their belief is and what God they choose to believe in or worship. But yes, I was actually in a covenant and I did some pretty strange stuff.
Okay, yeah, which I want to ask you about that, but why? I mean, what made you want to get into doing this? Kind of what made you join this group?
Okay, that's actually a really good question and a very sensitive one. But I'm completely open to explaining it. Way back, I was really looking into understanding what was out there in the world beyond my physical being. And I was at the time understanding that there was more than just going out each day and doing the things that needed to be done. Everybody has that every single day, millions around the world. I was more interested in what was going on with my body because I could see and sense and understand things that the other people either didn't care or they just ignored all around. They just didn't have any interest in it. I did. And so I was looking a little bit at the Bible, but there was so much in the Bible to read, I got overloaded. Well, I started talking to a few other people that were into what I thought at the time was just worshiping of the Mother Earth. And that seemed right to me. Why not respect the thing that you live on? So I was pulled in that direction. I wasn't pulled in the direction of God at the time because it seemed so fantastic that one person controlled everything. And it's not in a bad way. I didn't see that as something I could look to and say, I want to worship that. I was looking more like the trees, communication with them. How it is that our energy works with them? We have such an impact on this earth. Why not give back to the earth? And so I started my trek, my discovery into witchcraft, understanding wands, understanding athames, understanding the pentagram, understanding the elements of the earth, water, fire, earth, and water, fire, earth, and wind, air, and how those culminated into life itself. So it was almost like looking at this witchcraft from a scientific perspective, and that gave me more comfort. So I actually decided to say, let's start getting into this. And I really got into it, but I got into it because of other people giving me the direction which they thought was the right way to go. They were going by what they had learned from their parents. And don't underestimate it. There's been generations upon generations that have developed very powerful covenants and very powerful rules and how to handle things. And some of those covenants, I have to say, they were attractive. I mean, I never went to a covenant of this size before, but I've talked to people that were in covenants where they were wearing black cloaks that go over their bodies, and underneath they were in their birthday suits. And they described the events, what they were doing, you know, depending on where the moon is, what time of the year it was, and they have a huge bonfire, and they would sing, and they would meditate. It was very, very natural and very welcoming, but some of the things they did were quite shocking. And some of them weren't as clean and as other ones were. Some of them, they made sacrifices, but those tended to be very dark covens. Other covens didn't include any sacrifices, but they did other things, sometimes including and up to and beyond sexuality between the people in the group. So it was a very welcoming idea, but at the same time, it was very dramatic. And that drama was a positive energy for me that drew me in.
Was that part of the, you know, of the energy that the covenant was trying to create, like conjuring up a form of energy by?
In many particular cases, when a covenant gets together, it depends on what they've agreed upon beforehand as to what they're attempting to do. Because number one, it depends on the head witch, or what they would call the head priestess and the head priest. They were the two that were in charge of running the entire show. And what would happen is it would depend on what they're going to celebrate or what they're going to accomplish. In many different cases, it was either the Sabbath. A Sabbath is another word for a holiday, and they wanted to celebrate whatever holiday it was, be it the New Year, be it an Easter type thing, a Christmas type thing. Those type of Sabbaths were, that's where they got together, and they would simply worship. Oh, here we go with the commercial. So we will be right back with the rest of it. Also, call in if you have any questions.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, all right, we are back. I'm actually interviewing Matthew Brandau, who was in a, you know, in a witchcraft, occult, warlock. He is no longer doing that, but, you know, I wanted him to kind of share his story and help everybody understand, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly side of doing this, but also, you know, the history and the maybe the reason behind this. And, you know, there's some, you know, questions
Yes.
that I do want to ask you, you know, I'm curious about the astrological events or, you know, the Salem witch trials, but, you know, what is the most disturbing, before I ask those questions, what is the most disturbing thing that you experienced while being a part of this?
There were two, when I was in the Covent, there were two experiences that I had. One which was exciting and terrifying, and the other one which was just very curious, and it should have been a signal at the time to wake up and stop doing it. But my ego got in the way, and that's normal. I'll give you the less dramatic one first. I was invited over to this witch's house, and she lived near Salem, and she was a very smart lady, very, very intelligent, very kind. And it took a couple of people to get this whole thing organized because she did not trust people because of judgment. That's normal. People are very fast to judge. So I went through a couple of different people. I didn't push for it. I just said, yeah, I'd like to meet her. And so she sent out her protectors, so to speak, to double check me to make sure that I didn't have ulterior motives when I got there. And in the end result, I walked up to her door one evening, and this was in the fall time, and I knocked on the door, and one of her children answered it. And I was very surprised. Her children were the late teens. She had two kids. And I went in. I was very kindly welcomed, but I could tell you the aroma in the air was very nice. It wasn't like walking into a freshly vacuumed house. It was like walking into a garden of potpourri, but very, very fresh potpourri, nothing bought from the stores, but something that she created. So it was very nice, very welcoming. And I sat down, and she was sitting there looking at me. She gave me a smile, shook my hand, and then they sat down on the opposite side of the living room. It wasn't a very large one, but it was a normal size one. And she just looked at me with a kind of a smile, and I was looking back, and I started to get nervous because nothing was said, and this was only a few seconds. So I said, "Hi, I'm Matthew." She goes, "Yes, I know. It's nice to meet you." She says, "So I hear you're interested in becoming a full-fledged witch in the sight of a coven, perhaps this one." And I said, "Well, I want to learn about it and try and see what's going on and understand what's going on." She goes, "Well, I can tell that you have very powerful gifts." Now, I thought that was a sales pitch. I honestly thought that was a sales pitch. I didn't look at myself as anybody who had powers. I looked at myself as somebody who was just into witchcraft because I was curious as to what else was out there. And a side note is, if anybody's interested in calling up and asking questions regarding this subject, please feel free to. Sharon, what is the telephone number so people can call in? Do you remember it?
No, of course I don't. my goodness.
Okay, so hopefully our
202-570-7057.
Thank you. Okay, so we
need,
have a
yeah, I know,
help.
Matt, me and you need to get together, and you know, we need to repeat it like a song. And so we
did you write it down? Write it down, Sharon.
All right, I got
anyways.
It.
That is the telephone number, and hopefully what we'll do is repeat it a couple more times during the show in case people did not catch it. In fact, Sharon, did you write it down? Can you repeat it again?
I didn't have anything to write it down with. I was
okay,
going
no problem.
To do that.
We'll get it later
so
on.
We promise next show we will repeat it throughout the show, and I will have it in front of me on a piece of paper. So cross my heart.
What happened was... she said, "I had very powerful abilities and gifts." And as I said before, I looked at her like, this is a sales pitch. What's coming out next? You're going to tell me I'm some kind of a mini demigod? Yeah, and I was thinking this to myself in humor, not as a defense mechanism. But then she said, "Okay, we're going to give you a small test." And I was like, I wasn't prepared for any tests. This isn't really what I was expecting. She said, I want you to name all, I think it was 7 or 8 spirits that she says were in the house. And she said she wants me to describe them in their, and what they are and how they died. And I just sat there for a second. I stared at her like, you kidding me? And all of a sudden in my mind, these people started popping in. One was a wedding bride in her dress. And apparently she had was very, very unhappy, so she died. Another one was a very, very overweight man who died because he had a terrible diet. And I just kept going along this list. And I listed about, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 people, Sharon. And her 2 sons were staring at me in amazement. They just couldn't believe what I was saying. And she, the lady was just looking at me, nodding, going, uh-huh. I didn't know if I was passing or if I was scaring them. And at the end of it, she said, you are the first visitor I have had that wants to apply to this coven that has passed the test 100%. I got all of them.
Wow.
And I just looked at her like, yeah, okay, well, how many people have you had apply? She goes, she gave me a high number. I think she said like 12 or 15 or people, something like that, that had applied, and none of them, or 1 or 2 maybe, I don't know. I don't remember what she said. It was so long ago, but I did pass. And she says, now we're going to go for the bonus score. And I was like, what? She goes, I want you to put out your mental feelers into the house and tell me what happens. Okay, so I sat there. And all of a sudden, I had this urge, and I started sitting up. She goes, before you go anywhere, what are you feeling? And I froze. And what happened was, I said, I feel an urge to go down into your basement. There's something down there which is telling me to come look. It's an important feeling. I feel like I need you. She goes, okay, sit back down. I don't want you going down there. You nailed it. There is a gateway downstairs to the insane asylum that is like 5 or 10 miles away. If you try to go through that, your energy will be sucked into the insane asylum. And I was like, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, so no, I mean, a basement in a witch's house. No, I wouldn't go either.
So that was my first encounter with the spiritual side of witchcraft. Now, I don't know if it was dark or not at the time. Today, I would say that part of that was dark, yes, and part of that was just an experience. But that being aside, here's the second story. And this one's just more fascinating, kind of spooky, but very, very interpretable as real or fake. That's up to you. I was with the same group, and we had 3 people in the group. We went out to Gloucester. And we went out onto a path in Gloucester, which is where there's a peninsula there, very small one. And we were at the water's edge, and we sat in a circle. And we did the whole ritual, which she decided what the ritual was, along with the historical values of some rituals that are considered to be dogmatic, but they're not written as original rules. They were just written as rules that should be applied. Which direction you face, which direction you pray to, how you pray, these types of things. So she said to me while we were about halfway into this discovering meditation circle, Matthew, I would like to see how powerful you can be. And I looked at her like, and I believed her. I believed her 100% that I had something. She says, I want you to make it rain. I said to her, how do I do that? She goes, I want you to put your hands up in the air. And I want you to start wishing for it to rain. And I looked up into the sky, and it was nighttime. I could see the stars a long ways. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And I thought to her, well, if I create something that's going to rain, then this witchcraft thing is going way beyond anything. And I'd be like, I better get the Guinness Book of World Records out here if something happens. So I did. I actually started doing what she instructed, and about 5 minutes later, a wind kicked up. It just kicked up. There was no wind before. It just started windy. Okay, well, there's no clouds, so there was no front coming in. It was just a very strong breeze or wind. Water from the leaves, from the trees, the huge trees that were above us, the leaves started shaking. You know, well, that's what happens when wind blows, the leaves shake. Well, there was water on those leaves. And the water droplets started coming down directly on top of us and around other areas too. But in short, it was raining. So I was looking at her like, okay, I don't know what to say. I either this is just a coincidence or I'm making it happen. I was believing the latter. I was making it happen. She put her hands up in the air and requested it to stop. The wind stopped and it stopped raining that moment. Coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. So then, this is the part I have not shared with you, Sharon. She then decided to say, okay, I'm going to finally give you a final test. And her friend, the other person in the circle, knew what this was. And the look in her eyes was a little nervous. I was like, okay, why are you nervous? She says, Matthew, I want you to put up a barrier. And I want you to tell me if something starts coming towards us from the thick, dense forest that behind me that goes up this hill. I said, okay. So I waited maybe about 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, Sharon, I had this mental image of just putting this wall up of energy, and whatever it was that she had or she created broke through that wall as if it was a boiling hot knife through butter. It did right through it, as if it didn't exist. And I stood up and focused on it much harder because I was no longer trying to keep the wall up. I was getting scared that something was coming at me and I couldn't stop it. And I felt frightened. And I looked at her and I said, what is that? Because I could feel something coming at me. And it was, I almost felt as if there was no way to stop it. And she says, that's my spirit guide. And I said, and I looked at her, I was like, whatever it is, I'm getting a little nervous. And all of a sudden, Sharon, I kid you not, the grass and the leaves that were on the ground approximately 20 to 30 feet in front of me started crunching. This was behind her on the hill, crunching like footsteps. I could see that far. Clear as day. It wasn't day, it was nighttime, but I could see it. My eyes were totally adjusted. I couldn't see a body, but I saw where the steps were occurring, and I saw the leaves going poof, poof. And I said, if you don't stop this thing, I'm going to leave. And instantly, nothing stopped. And I said, what's going on? She says, you have made contact with my spirit guide. And she says that that is something that very few people have ever been able to do. Now, Sharon, I'm going to tell you right now, at the time I didn't know it. Now I do. This was not a spirit guide. This was a demon.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. It was, you know, very dark. It was like I'm remote viewing and I'm seeing what you were experiencing. Right. And because I'm thinking, okay, all right, I'm connecting with this thing. And if it's perceived to be her spirit guide, you know, that provides her guidance, that is very dark. That's scary. Exactly. Right now I'm feeling scared.
Well, don't worry. It's don't focus on it too much. That's not a good thing.
I go there and almost like see what is happening, you know, what you were experiencing. Right. And it was almost like, okay, put up, you know, get in the cage where you're going to be protected, because if you don't put up that barrier, then you're going to be attacked. Almost like a, you know, right, an attack dog, you know, and not something of the light.
Well, so what happened was at that point it stopped. And I sat down. She saw that I was visibly shaken. She said, don't worry, it will not touch you. And I said, I'm worried. She says, okay, why don't we close it up for tonight? So we closed the circle down. We started walking towards the normal park off the track. And at this point, as we were walking towards the cars, the wall, there was a brick, a stone wall to our left and the ocean to our right, or the shore to our right. And as we were walking, all of a sudden the footsteps started walking about 10 feet behind us, just up on the wall, and you could hear the grass going. And I said, "It's following us." She goes, "Yes, it is." She says, "At those two large stones out in front of us where we leave this area, they will stop. They will, it will not follow us past that point." Sure enough, as soon as we passed the two stones, very large stones, it stopped. And I felt a total relief, and protection went back to normal. I felt safe again. So whatever it was, not only stopped, but it transitioned out of our third dimension, away. So that was the, that was one of the scariest things that ever happened to me in witchcraft.
Was that, you know, was that experience part of the catapult that made you get out of doing this?
No. In fact, it actually brought me closer.
Okay, I'm thinking, okay, after that, I'd be, no, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Well, the reason why I went further into it was because after I left and I, my head cleared and the normal world around me came back into focus, other cars were driving by, that fearful experience became less significant and I could focus on the reality in front of me, which was a comfort zone. So the experience itself was never forgotten, but the feeling behind that experience of the fear was gone. So I never held on to that because that would not have been a healthy thing to do.
All right, we're going to get a break, and we will be right back with Matthew Brandau and Sharon Pugh.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Not yet. All right, everybody, we are back. We are talking about, you know, witchcraft, the occult. Matthew Brandau was part of a covenant, and he shared some pretty, you know, scary things that, you know, has happened to him, you know, when he was part.
Now, keep in mind, that was scary stuff, but that's not, there's the good stuff too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you want to share a little bit about, I had a couple you know, questions, and I don't know if this may be related to what, you know, what you did, but did you do anything with the relationship between the moon, like if there was a full moon?
Me personally, no, I did not. But there is something important that people should know about, is that a lot of people who join or decide to go into Wicca either alone as an isolated believer, such as a lone witch, or they decide to go into a covenant. One of the things that's important to understand is that the moon is considered to be one god. The sun is considered to be a god. The earth is considered to be a god. There are other gods that are known as spiritual beings. One of the more common ones that people know is the hunter god. That's the horned one. That's the one that people now use in Hollywood to be the really bad devil himself. Well, unfortunately, Hollywood took the horned god, which is a humanoid man walking, but he's actually a steer or something. He's actually a good god. He was one of those things that actually helped to pray to make a good hunt for making sure that the family had food. But Hollywood has taken that one because it had the horns and turned it into something awful. Then you have Thor. And Thor is another god that was very highly intelligent and was very good to everybody, but made sure everything was fair. So every celestial body has its own, I guess you could say, theoretical dogmatic, what's the word I'm looking for? Theoretical dogmatic doctrine. And this would be what people would choose to believe in. And the moon scientifically has effect on the earth through waters and through different types of weather scenarios, but it also has an impact on the witchcraft depending on which moon it is, from the changing of the moon from the full moon to the new moon to the moon that looks like a slice of something instead. Those are known as different types of moon settings. People believe in those settings as being specific to witchcraft. So these are all different parts about what witchcraft has become. And I'll be honest with you, Sharon, it's damn confusing. It is really confusing. After a while, you're figuring, okay, what god am I praying to, and what am I supposed to pray for this god? What do I want? Some people have got it down pat, and they believe in it, and that's what they work on, and it works for them, and they believe they're doing good. That's great. That's their choice. I chose to believe in God instead because it's really easy.
Okay, did these people believe in, you know, the biblical, you know, aspect of God and Jesus? So did they believe that when they passed, they would go to heaven? I mean, what was their thought?
Unfortunately, once again, as it comes to dogmas, whereas with the Bible, it says you can go to heaven if you believe in God and you give yourself to God. In the witchcraft or the Wiccan belief, there are many other beliefs that if you are good to other people, one of the phrases that they use is, do what you will, yet harm none. That is actually one of the old standing phrases in witchcraft. If witchcraft people, when they die, they can sometimes, in some beliefs, decide to say, I want to come back as this. I want to come back as that. I want to relearn something. Some people say, I haven't learned a lesson. I'm going to come back and try to learn this again. There are some similarities to the Bible. There are some things that parallel it. The paradigm is almost identical in some beliefs, but it is not the belief of God. It is their own belief. It's like the four elements create life: earth, water, wind, and fire. They are, each element represents something specific, and then life itself, like in the pentacle, has five stars. The four stars below on the lower side, on the right, left, and the bottom, right, and left, represent the elements, and the top notch represents life itself. So there is no specific thing that says one way or the other, unfortunately. So it's a choice on which you decide to believe in it, like it is a choice to believe in Jesus. People can say they don't want to because it is a book that was written by man. There are hundreds of arguments. That the end choice is, what do you choose to believe?
Okay. Well, kind of which, you know, leads me to, I take it that this was in the Northeast where you lived.
Yes.
And you did this. So were you near any areas where they held the Salem witch trials?
Oh, yeah. I lived 20 minutes away from that. And the Salem witch trials, sadly, was, how do I put this nicely? It was a farce. It happened, but it didn't happen for a good reason. The Salem witch trials were based upon paranoia, fear, lack of good judgment, and lack of honor. It was based upon hyper delusional thinking. And back then, they allowed it to happen for quite some time because of some beliefs from England. There was even hunting going on in England as well, but the English colonies that were here at the time of the Salem witch trials were mostly from that era. So that was one reason why it was allowed to continue, was they were hunting witches, thinking that that was the best thing to do. But the end result was when they realized they were killing too many people, it got really bad. And one of the biggest things that stopped the Salem witch trials in Salem specifically, and also just so you know that it wasn't actually Salem that was the big place for witchcraft, people think it is. It was turned into that because that's how Salem decided to handle it. It's actually Peabody. Peabody, okay. Mass is where all of the witchcraft actually happened. But one of the high level government ranking people in the town at that time decided that it was time to stop it because his own family members were getting claimed as being practicing witchcraft. And he said, okay, enough is enough. We killed way too many people for something that there was no real proof ever. So I lived in that town, and now it's just all, sadly, there's no witchcraft being practiced there that's real anymore. And if there is, you're not going to find it easily if you're a tourist coming into the town. The only thing you're going to be saturated with is the money, the businesses, and buying a lot of crap or junk, excuse me.
Well, you know, I've got, you know, I wanted to ask you a question about the pentagram. And we had bought a house one time in Florida. And I didn't notice this at the time that we bought the house, but when we moved in, I'm walking up the driveway, and close to the garage is, in the cement, is this big pentagram. And I immediately, you know, look at that and think of, oh my God, somebody here must have, you know, practiced witchcraft. And I did everything to try and remove it. And so I, you know, next to it, I buried, you know, a Jesus statue, and I just, you know, blocked it out. So is the pentagram symbol, you know, truly a negative thing, or is there, you know, some positive things about it?
The pentagram is actually considered to be a good thing. The problem is that it is the belief behind the pentagram is actually, depending on the person's interpretation, it can be considered a very positive thing, just of a different belief. The pentagram itself is not negative. If you switch it upside down, then you're talking about a different story altogether, where the top, where life is, if you point that down, some people say that that's the devil's star, which I would have to say, okay, there might be some point to that, but the way the pentagram is, no, there's nothing evil about it. So it depends. Most people are scared because it goes back to Hollywood, and Hollywood makes some great movies, and people at the end of it are like, whoa, they're so impacted on what they see in these movies, And then they see in real life these same things, or these same, that, like the horned god. And they say, oh my God, that must be the devil. No, that's Hollywood. This horned god was actually a really beautiful god. It helped families feed by praying to it. They helped them to survive. So again, you got to be careful on the interpretation of icons and talismanic icons, especially depending on what they really mean and what Hollywood did, because Hollywood is a vicious brainwasher.
Ah, okay. So, I mean, yeah, because if you turn the cross upside down, that turns it into a negative thing. And yeah, I mean, you see in movies where, you know, people go up into a room of an old house and they peel back the area rug and there's a pentagram on the floor. And immediately, right, you know, it's a bad thing. And you brought up this horned god, you know, several times. And I'll make this really, really quick because I'm wondering if this, you know, kind of ties in. But I astral projected one time and kind of fell into a light sleep. And I went to another, it looked like another dimension, a room, hallways, but I could see it. And there was this cherry red horned, and it looked like the Hollywood version of the devil, but we're looking at each other and I'm not afraid of him. And I feel like I had gotten a wealth of information, but I didn't know what that information was, you know, at the time. Uh-huh. Very thick, you know, platform shoes, but the shoes, you know, were attached to his feet. And he wasn't wearing anything, but it was just a bright, you know, cherry red, the horns, but they weren't long horns. They were more stubbed.
Mm-hmm.
So is this what
the horned one was actually always considered to be a cross between a beast and a man, a beast. So if you said
exactly
something was red, I would say that you probably had an experience with something of a spiritual being. And the fact that it was bright red, I think that's what color was going to be. So it might have been intimidating, but at the same time also it was, oh, something interesting is going on here. I would not say it was evil. I would not say it was not evil. I cannot tell you which one it was, but whatever it was, at some point your definition or answer will probably come to you as to what it was. But to dwell on it too much, that might hurt you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel scared or intimidated. It was more of, you know, we were like, we had had a conversation and he, you know, turned around and left. And then that's all I remember.
That's a very nondescript way of saying, okay, don't forget me, but don't be scared of me.
Okay.
So you never know. You never know, unfortunately. It's your subconscious knows it, but your conscious is saying, huh?
is this why, you know, what you just spoke, you know, just spoke about, okay, the Halloween, you know, why we have,
oh God,
Halloween.
All right. Halloween is considered to be the new year for witchcraft. It is the worship of the change of seasons into the winter. And it's considered where everything dies. And in witchcraft, that means that everything new is going to be coming after the winter solstice. So it is the new year for witchcraft. And the reason why they use the masks is because they want to worship the spirits, but they know that interwoven amongst all those spirits are negative spirits as well as positive ones. So they wear the masks to keep their identities from the living secret so that they can worship all, and the bad spirits don't know who's who. So they don't know who to attach to if they have a specific negative goal in mind by attaching to this person or that person. So it stays neutral, and that's how they create their new year, and they worship their dead loved ones. And that's actually something that happened for a long time, that started in somewhere in Italy, and also is something that continues to go on to this day in South America, big time. But that, we're running out of time here, so why don't we actually give out our information here again of how they can get a hold of you, because I think we've got 1 or 2 minutes left.
Okay. All right. If you would like to get a reading with myself, Sharon Pugh, go to SharonPugh.com or the SouthernStyleMedium.com. You can also, you know, download and archive an episode of our radio show, and all the information is there. I love it. I love the instant reading option. I do that quite a bit now. So just click on the instant reading link, and if my button is green, you know, get a reading with me. It's by the minute. So if you just want 3 minutes, great. If you want 60 minutes, great. Completely up to you.
Also, Sharon has a downloadable business card on her front page. It's in a PDF format, so check that out if you want to let other people know about her as well. Thank you very much for tuning into this radio show, Sharon. Thank you very much for asking me those questions.
You are welcome. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care now, everybody. Bye-bye.